say will be so vividly clear to you because of the testimony that you heard. And we should make time. You know, there's in scripture, I think it was it Moses? God, there was an altar and God made fire and the altar burned. Or anyway, and then there was still, no, Moses was busy making an altar and putting the sacrifices on it. It was a holy thing happening. And then the vultures came. Was it Moses? I'm sorry, guys, I forgot now. Yes. Anyway, and then the vultures came and wanted to steal this whole holy thing happening. And he had to still chase away the vultures. And we have to, when things like this is holy, we can preach shorter, we can do everything shorter. This stuff must happen because it's holy. And we set time aside for it. And it's a far greater testimony of God's heart when you hear that stuff. Because if you were here today and you're not a Christian, you walk out here, then you're like, if you not still don't believe that God does miracles or is a loving God, then you are living in ignorance. You know, it's not like you can. Maybe you really didn't think he exists, but after hearing this, at least some questions must be asked in your head. Did he do all of that? Like 3-4 times after each other? Maybe once could be only doctors. But 3 times, 4 times, can't be doctors anymore. It must be God. Amen. Great stuff. All right. Faith with compassion. I said this morning, if Heineken Meyer speaks to his Springboks, it looks like he did this week because they won the game yesterday. But it would be good, and I've seen it in church also, it's good to always tell the people where we are heading. Where we are heading as the Springbok team, where we are heading. I want to tell you where we are heading today with this sermon so that as we preach you always have the goal in mind. I believe God wants to, maybe not for all of us today, but for a lot of Christians, he wants to almost reintroduce himself to us, reintroduce his heart to us so that we understand his heart. It's perfect of what she shared, where we understand his heart for us. That scripture, Romans 8:28, where God turns around things, bad things, he turns around for our good. Because it's his heart, not for you to go through the bad stuff, but it's his heart to take that ugly thing and make it positive, make it a testimony in your life. So I believe that's what God wants to do for a lot of us here this morning, Christians. He wants to reintroduce, just show his heart again, because we can live as Christians and we miss it. And for those of you who might not know God, might have this skeptical idea of God, that God would also introduce himself to you, that you understand what his heart is. Why does he like me? Does he like what he created? Is he angry at me, or does he like me? You know, that I believe that's what God wants to do. So, as we continue, just think about those two things. What's the next slide there? Can you skip that one? That's completely from a wrong sermon. Yes. I believe as Christians, we should, the topic there was faith with compassion, or I would like to call it faith through compassion. But before we get to that, I believe as Christians, and I share about it quite, well, almost every time, that we should have a life, a spiritual walk, a life of conviction. People that have conviction change the world. If you look at, that's presidents that are not presidents are always people that walk with a conviction. They are able to speak that conviction. Barack Obama, the man, has amazing speeches, but he carries his conviction. The people look at him and they still remember his first message. I wouldn't say preached, but yes, we can. What did he repeat so many times? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. But that conviction, he brought that conviction over, and people could follow him. People follow him. Because he's got a conviction. The man has got a plan, you know. And now somehow upset with him. The plan didn't work. And now they need to decide if he needs to get elected again. I'm not very good with politics. But as Christians, we should walk with that same conviction. What do we believe? Why do we believe it? Does it work? And it's amazing to hear that testimony this morning. But as Christians, we should walk like that. You've got the way the world does things, and you've got the way we do things according to God's plan. And which one works? Which one walks with the most conviction? And sometimes we as Christians, we're so sorry for ourselves on what we believe. No, this is why we believe this, and this is... But sorry, no, man. We believe what we believe because it works. Look at Halo. Does it work? Yes, it works. Look at my family. Does it work? Yes, it works. Look, the same should go for our finances. Does God know how to work with finances? Yes, look at us. Look. Now, sometimes we can't say this, but it's fine. But we should walk with that conviction. Are you with me? And I remember whenever I meet or have to preach to a new group of youth, if it's at a school or whatever, I almost always preach about just one scripture, Romans 1:16, where Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Then I stop and then I try and explain to the kids what does it mean. If I can use an example, Paul was in a gang, because you have to think like children. What do they relate to? I don't know if gangs relate to them, but anyway, Paul was in a gang and he thought he was the coolest of that gang. You know, he was in a club. They believed something. They were against Christians. He was the leader of that gang, and something happened to him. God changed him. And now he believes in God and in God's purposes. And then he says that scripture, "I'm not ashamed." I was ashamed. I was ashamed of the gospel. But it's because then I thought they're stupid. Then I thought they don't know what life is all about. Then I thought, you know, but now I've changed and I've seen, but what I have is more than what they have. It's more. It's full of life. It's almost like they had bronze. Ooh, yes, it's kind of valuable. But I've got diamonds. Is there something more valuable than diamonds? Uranium? No. But you see, the comparison is, it's not I'm ashamed of what I believe. No, I can't be ashamed because I know it's better. It's diamonds. I liked bronze, but there's some stuff that sells for more than bronze, and it's diamonds. And I have it. I'm not ashamed of it. And Paul walked around with that conviction. And I didn't have that conviction when I was at school. I mean, I wasn't really a Christian at school, but I would like my daughter, and I see that in Fred's son's life, not only Fred, but I'm just using it as an example. Stefan was a sold-out Christian, but he was the head boy of the school. But people looked up to him because he lived with conviction, and what he believed, he brought across with love, and people could see it works, and he wasn't ashamed. Okay, are you with me? Are you with me? Where am I? Okay. So, conviction. I believe, firstly, we should believe with conviction. Now, if you need prayer on that, ask Nadia to pray for you. Because she believes with conviction. Because, like, even the second time, she was like, "Lord, are you going to come through again?" Well, the second and the third time and the fourth time he came through. I know it works. I believe with conviction. But many times, including in my life, we're not convicted about what we believe. We're like, "Oh, I hope God comes through." You know? But God wants us to step away from that. So firstly, he wants us to believe with conviction. The second thing I want to share is, I believe our compassion, that's why I say faith with compassion, our compassion, like in Jesus' case, must convict others. Does it make sense? It must convict other people, our compassion. And if we could all live like Jesus, that's exactly what he did. His compassion for people convicted others. It drew others to him. He couldn't get away from people. He had to get on a boat, tell his disciples, I need to get away. I'm tired. I love these people, but I'm tired. Let's go. And then they go to the other side of the lake. There's more people. Then he preaches for them. And then they're like, who's going to eat? They followed us for 3 days. And the disciples are, well, we don't have money to buy food for all these people. And he's like, what do we have? We have a few brechens and boerewors. Just bring it. And he multiplies it and he gives everybody food. But his compassion, and if you read the scriptures, Jesus looked upon them and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You could see people that are in life need guidance. Amen. The scriptures that I need to read now is Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I said, firstly, we must believe. We must have faith with conviction. Our faith in God, we must have it because of a conviction of who He is. We must be more convinced about ourselves almost. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. God says that you can't come to me. If you come to me, whatever you do for me, and it's not out of faith, I'm not pleased. So you'll get people, Christians, that come to, and I'll say it because I was one of them. They'll come to every meeting the church has. They attend everything, and they do it to please the pastor or something, or please God. But they don't do it out of a conviction that, you know, I would say, God says, rather only attend half the meetings, but do it with a conviction. Do it out of faith rather than to please me. Then you please me. Don't try and please me. Just do what you do with faith. Then it pleases me. And I'm going to get back to the second part of the scripture. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Okay, we'll get back to that. Matthew 9:36. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I'm just reading at the moment. I'm reading, well, part of it is Mark, the book of Mark. But do yourself a favor, read those gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And look at how Jesus treats people. How does He conduct Himself around people? Read it with that. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Because sometimes we can read the Bible and we skip so many little details. But you read it specifically and you see Jesus had compassion on people. He stopped. You know, when He spoke to the woman at the well, He just probably just wanted to know, how are you doing? Yes, you're a prostitute. I hate the sin. But how are you? And then she opened up. She told Him and she got saved without a sermon. But he cared for people. He had compassion for people. So, we must believe with conviction, and our compassion for people must convict them of God's goodness. Now, how do we obtain this? And I said that we obtain it through prayer, and I think I'm wrong. Well, partially wrong. It's not only through prayer, but I'm just sharing of what happened to me the last couple of weeks since Amanda has been here, and then we had this prayer meetings and stuff, and it was just, I saw that when I sought God in prayer again. So I don't want to actually say prayer gives you those things, the conviction in faith and the compassion. I'm saying an intimate relationship with God gives you those things. But prayer is a good place to start, because prayer is like intimate communication. Prayer is not one-sided, and the best, that's what I actually realized. You know, when you spend that time with, and you sit and you wait for God, that's when you start here with all these other voices talking to us. TV and magazines and work and stress. When those things go quiet, but then you hear. Then you hear stuff specifically. Then God starts to reveal His heart to you. So, it's not necessarily prayer. But if you want to obtain these two things, conviction and faith, and that your compassion convicts others, start with prayer. That's my advice. And there's something that God also changed in my heart. When we started praying, is that, anyway, let me read Ephesians 6, verse, just from verse 18 to 20. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. What does supplication mean? Dis 'n bietjie smeek. I think yes, in Afrikaans the word is smeek. It's almost begging. But it's pleading. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, seeking in prayer. I asked this morning, and maybe I was a bit wrong, but does this, if we pray now with supplication and pleading before God, that time that we set aside to pray and to hear from Him, does that change God's mind? Does our prayers change God? So who does it change? Prayer changes us. If we pray and we hear and we get closer to God, see His heart, it doesn't change Him. He doesn't change. He said that in His word. It's not like He changes His mind about Theo and Theo's calling or that person out there is calling. No, it doesn't change. It's been decided, determined before we were born. Prayer changes me. Prayer just gets me. You know, if you want the perfect will of God, it's a straight line and we can go into all kinds of lines. Prayer just gets me a little bit closer to God's perfect will for my life. It doesn't change God. Yes, Scripture says we can plead and stand in the gap for people and God can change His mind. But it's not like His heart for those people changes. Are you with me? But prayer changes us. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 and 2. And here it says we must do it with supplication. First of all, then I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. Now wait. Thanksgivings be made for all people, not all Christians. So what happened to us, and I must choose my words carefully here, but Jaco sent out an email about this. Carol, how do I word it? Come on. It's all on you now. No. About this new age methods and all kinds of ministries, evil, but occultic things that want to start establishing here in Swakopmund. Now, if I'm stepping on your toes, I'm sorry, but it was made public. It's not like we're hiding it. But Jaco just forwarded that email and said, Christians, we need to pray that this stuff stops. Because it's not from God. These things are not from God. We have to stop it. But what I realized when we prayed is we can sometimes pray wrong. Then we pray against those people. No, we pray against the demons. We pray against the evil that He wants to bring. What does this scripture say? We say, thank you for all Christians. No, thank you for all people. Supplications, prayers, intercessions for all people. Okay, yes, it does say it's for kings, all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. But my heart changed when we started really praying, and I think I still share it with Mark, or I don't know if I share it with everybody, but that we pray against the evil, but we pray for those people. We ask God to save them. We must start getting a heart for them. Amanda, when she was here, she shared with me, it's a burden, man. It's a burden that she shared. But she said that our church, she believes God wants to send all kinds of broken people to us, broken through, she didn't say what, but I can just imagine through drugs and alcohol or whatever it is that breaks people's lives, God wants to send them here so that we can help them through God's grace and mercy. So our prayer life also changes for where we, and we do it often. And I there was another example, I was talking to, I can't be too specific now, but there was We sometimes exclude people. You know, like then we say, but they're part of that evil group. And we treat them differently. We talk to them differently. And they feel excluded. Man, that's nonsense. They should not feel excluded. All the, if you could call it druggies or whoever they were, they ran to Jesus. Why? Because his compassion convicted them. And we must trust God that we don't pray against people and what they're doing and their plans. We pray against the plans and the devil that's behind it. But we pray for those people to come to salvation, to know Jesus Christ. Amen? 1 Kings 18 verse 41 to 42. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the Mount of Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, why did he do this? He had an urgency. He had a burden. They say that that's this, you can have the same picture as a woman going into labor. But he was concerned, distressed. And I want to say to you that certain things, and it happened to me, to Heidi, we were praying. We're praying for somebody else, but we're always praying this vague, God bless them, help them, because we know they need help. But when God actually showed me at that evening when we prayed for this other thing in Swakopmund, he showed me something about the person we're praying for, and now I have clear strategy on what to pray for. But I only got it because I... supplication. I only got it because I wrestled with God about this. And I got clear instruction from him. And now we need to get more and become needs to be more clear. But certain things in your life won't become clear. You won't get guidance or nothing until you do what Elijah did. You go to that quiet place and you wrestle with God to hear about this demon that's on your back or in your family. How to get rid of the thing. Are you with me? God shows, he does not show us everything. We need to approach him, get closer to him. Then some things will become clearer to us. This wrestling, this supplication. Amen. Hebrews 5 verse 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Okay, I want to go on to the next one. We said we must be, our faith, we must be convicted of our faith on what we believe in. The core of faith, we read that scripture with a dedication. We hear it so many times, but I believe I got a new revelation, just a fresh one of it. But God says our faith must be like that of children. Matthew 10 verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now, I had a good example of this. My daughter, Ember, every morning when she wakes up, not every morning, some morning she cries when she wakes up. It's like, who said it this morning? They said, oh, his parents get less sleep. I actually sleep a lot. But it's quite challenging to have children. It's different. And when you get, I always say this, when you get married and you get children, when you're still just engaged, you know, and you sleep in that house and she sleeps in this house, it's still fine. You get married, you stay in the same house, then all your insecurities, faults, and weaknesses surface. They can't hide now. You can't go home now and hide it. And now it comes out. Now God shows you what your weaknesses are and your wife sees it and it's like, ah, Lord, just help and bless me. But that's good. That's why I think when we get married and have children, God... certain things, and we don't all have to get married to get it, but certain deep revelations of God becomes clearer. And the one thing that became clear to me is my daughter Ember. We've got the stairs to the first story. Then in the morning she would stand like five stairs higher than me, and I would stand here at the bottom, and then she would fall like this. But it's not like we would fall. You know, if somebody tells me, come on, fall. God's going to catch you. We would fall like this. We must at least, you know, be ready to, if he doesn't catch you, You know, protect yourself. She doesn't fall like that. She falls like this with her hands. On purpose, I guess. She does this. Why? Why does she do that? Because she sees me then. Am I like, I want to actually tell you, Ember, listen, this is a bit crazy. It's a bit scary. You know, maybe I slip or I don't see you. No, 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 Dad, you must be there. I'm going to fall, and I fall like this. So she does it. But you know what? She does it with a smile. But that's faith. And do I, what I wrote a question here. Does she do it out of fear? You know, sometimes we can preach this thing, you must have faith like a child, faith like a child, and then we tell people, you know, God is telling you this, just take a bold step of faith. And we do it, we do the right thing sometimes out of the wrong motivation, we still do it out of fear. And God wants to remove that supernaturally from our lives, where we take that, like my daughter takes it, like with joy. This is fun, because he catches me every time. But in our lives, man, how many times has it happened to us? God, somebody prophesies of your life. God wants to do this to you. And like, me, Lord. That means I have to give up this, stop this. And our reaction is fear. And we still sometimes after that take the right steps, but it's still out of fear. And God does, fear doesn't please him. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of adoption by which you cry out, Abba, Father. And God wants to change that in our lives, because like I said in the first sermon, as we move closer to when Jesus is coming back, it's like the fire on Christians, if I can put it like this, getting hotter and hotter. And just as that stuff, that insecurities surfaces in your marriage, that insecurities on which you base your faith is going to surface at some stage. If some of your faith is based on fear, it's going to surface. And when it surfaces, it's ugly. So we can trust God to remove that so that our faith is based on what the core is, and that is, what is his heart, Father God? What is his heart? Is his heart to make me want to fall 5 times before I get it? No. No, 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 no. I don't want my daughter to first fall 5 times before she realizes she should not do that. Or I want her to get, if she doesn't listen to me, why shouldn't you run into the street? She must first learn. Man, Father doesn't work like that. His heart is to protect and to help from the word go, irrespective of what you do, irrespective of if you obey or not. It's his heart. Are you with me? Matthew 10 verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Sorry, I wanted to. Matthew 10, 15 to 17. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. The last part there, verse 16. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. God says we must establish his kingdom here on earth. But that establishment of his kingdom on earth does not happen unless it's through children with a childlike faith that trusts their God. I remember something, these small things, I don't know, God speaks to me like that. These small things that sticks in my brain and can't get it out. I remember when I was, I don't know, 12, my brother was very young, still a baby. My father carried him. This is all I remember. You mean, what? I was still young, I don't get the Bible, really. I don't understand it too much. He was carrying my brother and he slipped. Now he's a baby. And all I could see is it almost happened like slow motion before me. He was about to fall on Corneille. Boop, a baby. But he did everything he could to turn and he fell on his shoulder on the concrete. Bam, without being able to protect himself. But he did whatever he could to protect that baby. And those things, if you don't have a father like that, yes, you've got some sort of a disadvantage. But it's not the end of the world. Your God is a God that does that. And those things stick in my brain and I remember it. And when people speak to me about the love of God, I make that connection. I understand it. Yes, I saw it. But I'm not saying if you didn't have a father, I'm saying to you, your dad's like that, your father God. He is like that. He protects you, whatever the case may be. Amen. Compassion. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 and 2 says, we'll save it for all people. And God wants us to get to a place where we understand other people, where we understand the pain that they're going through, where we don't present them with a formula. Hello, my marriage is going through trouble. Wait, let me just get the book. No. Let me just listen, understand. What are you going through? Sorry. And many times people will come to you and they're still living in sin. They're still doing the wrong things. Their life is full of sin. And we're like, let's just first sort out the sin. No, listen. Listen. Jesus didn't first tell the prostitute at the well, hey, change your life. He said, what? Sorry, what are you going through? How are you? The tax collector, Zacchaeus, I don't know. He said, come and eat with me. Come and eat at my house. Come. Zacchaeus is like, what? Doesn't he know that I'm a tax collector? I'm full of sin. He didn't talk to him first about the sin. No, he didn't. He said, come and eat at my house. Anyway, and a good example of this, and then I'm finished, is Jonah. 1 verse 1 is the whole book of Jonah. And the first part in Jonah, I'll read it, Jonah 1 verse 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before, for their evil has come up before me. So God speaks to Jonah and says, Jonah, I want you to go to that evil city, and you must go and preach to them. So Jonah doesn't listen. He gets swallowed by a fish. Not a kabeljau. I think it was a whale. Or a big, maybe the kabeljau is still big then. But he gets swallowed by a fish, spit out, and then the second time he listens. And he goes to Nineveh. But then God tells him, you must preach to them. Ask them, they must turn. And Jonah is like, what, Lord? They're evil. Now you want me to be nice to them and preach, they must turn. So Jonah responds to God's call, but he still doesn't get his heart. And then right at the end, God tells Jonah, listen, let me explain my heart to you so that you can wake up. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, And in chapter 1 it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call against it, for the evil has come up before me. Now God says, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Should I not pity them? Jonah, you're not getting me. Yes, I'm against the evil that is binding those people, that are keeping them in bondage. But you're telling me I shouldn't have pity on them. What's wrong with you? You're not getting my heart. My heart is that you can speak to them so that they can turn, so that they can become mine, so that they can see my heart. I'm not there to destroy them. I want to destroy the sin and the pain and the hurt, not the people, Jonah. Wake up. Get my heart. And many things in our lives, well, not many. We will not walk in the perfect will of God unless we get this. Because God won't take you further in front of many thousands of people if you don't have the right heart. If your heart is not there to speak to them. Not speak to them. To share God's love with them. That's what it's about. Am I making sense? So what did I say right there in the beginning? God changed my heart with that Thursday night prayer thing, just praying for those other people, even before that, just where I realized, but I'm praying wrong. Yeah, I'm praying in the wrong manner, the wrong angle I'm approaching. And God, just help me to give me compassion for these people that are so apparently so evil. Give me compassion for them. And I hopefully I'm starting to pray differently. And so, yes, I want to walk with a conviction, my faith. I want to walk in that conviction. My God heals. My God delivers. My God restores. My God loves. And then I want that compassion must pull other people towards us, not me, towards God, so that I can see who He is. Amen. Can we stand? I want us to just bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to pray for, firstly, Christians here this morning, and we must be honest with ourselves. I actually think we're all in that boat. I'm in that boat. But where you realize that sometimes your conviction, your way of doing things, there's some fear in it. Not the fear of God, there's fear. You don't, like Ember, you don't fall almost with a smile on your face. You don't obey God with a smile on your face. Those challenging things to you in life, it's always negatively experienced. Because, why? Because you're not, it's a part of God's heart that needs to be revealed to you again. A part of God's heart that you have to grab and grasp again. That He doesn't want you to jump off a mountain with fear, but with faith. With excitement of serving Him, excitement of following Him, because you know who He is. My daughter falls with a smile on her face because she knows me. She doesn't do it out of fear. And if you believe that you have, you just want us to pray for that this morning, so that you can live this life of conviction and get rid of all the fear in your life. If you feel that, and just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody that feels like that? Let's just, as Christians, everybody together agree now when we pray. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You will reveal Yourself to us, Your heart. Lord, we do so many things out of the wrong motivation. And we sometimes don't obey You. Lots of times we don't obey You because we're afraid. And Father, I know that's not from You because Scripture says it's not from You. We must have the fear of the Lord, yes, but we don't have to be afraid of obeying You, of afraid of... I just pray that You will rebuke that fear in people's lives here this morning. Lord, remove it. Let them be excited to hear Your voice. Let them be excited to hear the next call that You have for their lives, the next step. Let us be excited about it, Lord, not dreading it, not dreading to hear from You, but being excited. Father, make us like children in Jesus' name. Come and save us all over together. Make us like children, Lord, that we can just know that we've got an almighty God that will catch us when we fall. And even if we make mistakes, Father, You're still there to catch us. Just rebuke that thing of us thinking we should be perfect and we must strive to obey everything You say. But Father, we will make mistakes. And I pray that there will be liberty to then just follow You. I pray for everyone here. Lord, there will be liberty in houses, in families, Lord God, to celebrate You, to just celebrate who You are and celebrate the plan and the purpose You have for families. Father, people, we don't even talk about our purposes in life because we're afraid. Father, I pray that You will open that up in families and they will talk to each other. That there will be a family time of speaking where God is going to take us as a family. What He's going to do with us, Lord. We keep those things quiet. We don't talk about it because we're afraid. I pray that You will open our mouths so that we can speak into our children's lives and prophesy into their lives so that they can walk in the fear of the Lord and in the perfect will of God, knowing where they should be going. Lord, I pray that we will walk with conviction. Lord, I pray for our children that are constantly being bombarded by just from every angle and every side to conform to this world. I pray for a conviction in our faith, in our children, that will be established from a small age on, Lord. And we will walk with You, Lord, and walk with conviction. People will look up to us. Father, I pray that You will give us compassion for people, Lord. We don't want to... I know it cannot happen with us screaming for compassion and pleading for compassion. It's something that your spirit must do in our lives. And I pray, Lord, we surrender. Do it, please. Change some of the hardness in our hearts. Come and give us a new heart, a soft one that can suck up the pain of this world in Jesus' name, that can have a space to listen to people. We will not be selfish, Lord God, like you were. We'll have time. I pray and I thank you that you're going to just liberate lots of us, Lord. We have so many reasons why we can't do this or do that or listen to this one. You're going to supernaturally remove that so that we have excess capacity to listen to people with problems in Jesus' name. I want to pray, also ask, if you're here this morning as our heads are bowed and you don't know Jesus Christ, you want to, but it's making sense to you now. It's making sense to you. He's a loving God. I must give my life to Him. Can't go on like this. I can't promise you whatever problems and stuff you're going through, I will not promise that it will stop this morning. But what I can promise you is what the Word says, and it says that you will have peace that surpasses all understanding. You will have peace that surpasses. I have peace that surpasses all understanding. Like Nadia was speaking about, she doesn't understand why, but it's peaceful. Why? It shouldn't be. It's chaos around us, but it's peaceful. That's God. That's because she's a child of God. If you don't have that peace in your life, I can promise you that can be taken away by God now, if you give your life over to God. And you can follow Him and He'll help you systematically with the rest. But I can't promise you peace in your soul. I can promise you that because Scripture promises you that. So if you are here this morning, you need that peace. You need to give your life to God. Let's just bow our heads. If you feel like that, raise your hand up boldly and say to the world, it's me. Is there somebody like that? Is there somebody that wants to give their life to God? I'm going to wait a little bit more. Is there somebody here? I'm going to close off, but I'll be waiting here for if you want prayer in any area. But I'll close off with prayer now. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Spirit that it created this world. It's got power to transform things. And I pray that your Spirit would transform us. We want to surrender to Him so that He can change us. We want to be soft clay that He forms. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.